in, we're going to read this morning from Psalm 39. Psalm 39, and it's a Psalm of David. And David says, I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth. For you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. You rebuke and discipline men for their sin. You consume their wealth like a moth. Each man is but a breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping, for I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger, as all my fathers were. Look away from me, that I may rejoice again before I depart and am no more. Amen. Let's read the word of the Lord. Now, we're coming to the run-up to Christmas now, aren't we? And what do they normally do at Christmas time? They normally play the old films. Mainly Walt Disney's, and there was one film I remember growing up called Pollyanna, and I always remember there was one particular scene in Pollyanna where they're all in the church, and the preacher is a very loud preacher, and the one thing he liked preaching on was death. And I remember his words. His words were, "Death comes unexpectedly," he used to say. And of course you get this picture, and the chandelier would rock, and all the congregation were looking at rather sheepishly. And of course there's truth in that question, isn't there? Death comes unexpectedly, in that statement. And we don't know when our last hour will be, do we? Just thinking on that over these past couple of weeks, and my neighbour, he finished his evening meal, and he had a habit of eating peanuts after his evening meal, and he choked on the peanut and became unconscious, fell over and cracked his head on the kitchen side and died of a brain hemorrhage. So it's very sobering, isn't it, how short life is. Another one, in fact, it was only just this last week, I went to a customer, and he was very well known to me, this guy. And he was on his way to work, and there was a chap behind him, and he saw him swerving along the A249, and he thought, well, I'm gonna follow this guy. And he pulled into the lay-by, and just to check to see if he was okay, and there he was, slumped over the steering wheel. Tried to get in, but the doors were locked. So it's a real strong picture, isn't it? He died alone, without any family. And the thought is there, that non-Christians, they die alone, don't they? They die alone if you haven't got Christ. And that's the world, isn't it? But if we're in Christ, we're never alone, are we? If we don't think about death, then we ought to, shouldn't we? Because it's a very sobering thought. It has come to my mind a lot, obviously, with Mum last year, and the breathing difficulty and being in hospital, and then of course Dad recently with cancer. And we thank the Lord for his mercy and his goodness to us. And he is always with us, isn't he? The world more so. The world, some Christians might say that this subject is very depressing. Oh dear, he's talking about death. I don't really want to hear about that. I don't want to listen to that. But the subject actually for the Christian is wonderful, isn't it? It's a joyful subject for the true Christian. Have you ever looked on death as being a depressing thought? If you turn to Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 2, you'll hear it says, "It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart." And that's very true, isn't it? The living should take this to heart. Now, for the true child of God, then, it's not depressing at all, is it? It's a very happy thought. I remember Dad telling us when we were young, dear pastor friend Peter Sanderson, he died, and I don't think you actually knew that he died on that day, but on the way home, I remember Dad saying that there was a beautiful sunset, a wonderful sunset. And it's almost as though the Lord was calling one of his into the kingdom. I always remember that. Dear Dorothy Banham, who used to be one of ours, I remember her ringing me and saying that she had cancer, but she was ready to go home, she said. I remember that. For the world, cancer is a terrible thing, isn't it? They look on it and they try and battle it and they try and fix it, but death comes unexpectedly, and cancer is a terrible thing. But I always remember Penny McCammon, when she came over here, the one thing she said was, "If this is my sickness unto death, Lord, I thank you." And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That she should thank the Lord even in sickness. John Bunyan, writer of The Pilgrim's Progress, he, on his deathbed, he said, "I see heaven opened. I see the angels of God waiting to receive me." Wonderful. Then he sat up with his arms above his head and said, "Take me, for I come to you." Wonderful words. Wonderful words. What a death. We can be joyful in death, can't we? Another one was Henry Venn. He was an 18th century evangelist. when he was on his deathbed, I remember this is a story that used to be told quite a lot when I was young. He said, he got really excited and he said, "Aren't these great symptoms?" And the doctor was there and he said, "At this rate, you'll never die." Even in death, the Christian can be joyful. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said, "Don't pray for my healing. Don't hold me back from the glory." Wonderful. Other quotes I've got here. Charles Wesley, he said, "Oh, that I might catch a smile from thee and fall into eternity." And on his deathbed, he was asked, "Do you want anything?" And he said, "Nothing, nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ." So wonderful ends. And that's for the child of God, isn't it? But then we have to move on to sobering things, because what about the person who isn't in Christ? The situation isn't good there, is it? We need to be right with God, don't we? We need to have a personal relationship with him, a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing we must have. And now we go back to Psalm 39, and it's obviously a Psalm of David, and the background here is that David's often in trouble, wasn't he? He was often in trouble, and he was in trouble because he was a warrior king. He was a king that fought battles, but this particular psalm is actually a psalm that he wrote when he was on his sickbed. David was always surrounded by people. He was always surrounded by men, and in particular evil men. And in that situation and in that pressure, the one thing he didn't want to do was sin. I mean, our testimony is always tested there, isn't it? Satan is always around us, isn't he? He always gets in our thoughts, in our minds. Oh, I wish this cold would go. Oh, I hate this cold. It's often a thing we say, isn't it? But in difficult circumstances, it's hard. But this discouraged David. And we don't want to be a bad testimony, do we? We don't want to be a bad testimony. So he writes these words in verse 4. We look at these words and he says, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." Selah. "Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." So the first thing we need to look at in this is understanding the briefness of life. And this isn't just David's words, of course it's God's word, isn't it? And God's word is vital to us. It's very vital to us. It shows us our mortality, these verses. And notice here that David, in the first section, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end," he goes to the Lord, doesn't he? He goes straight to God. And why? Because the Lord knows everything about him, doesn't he? He knows everything about our lives, our beginning and our end. And it helps David in this to know how short his life is. And it helps him. Helps us to bear illness, doesn't it? It helps us to bear sickness. And it should show us all. It should show us all. So people without Christ, then, they don't see an end to their problems, do they? They don't see an end to their problems. That's a very sobering thought. The sad fact is, their problems have only just begun. Their problems have only just begun. An eternity without Christ is a very sobering thought, and it should really shake us if we aren't in Christ. Hell forever is not a good thing. But, and that's a great word, isn't it? It's a great word. But those who have a hope in Christ, they have an end to problems, don't they? They have an end to their problems. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing, a wonderful statement. We're talking about sunsets on Thursday evening and how beautiful they are. And the picture there is that for the Christian, a sunset is as every day in heaven. Because the Lord Jesus, He is our sunset, isn't he? We can look on him with pleasure and enjoy his presence. Wonderful, wonderful. The sunset, the dawn, he's our all in all, isn't he? He's our altogether wonderful, lovely one. We must always consider this. Why? Well, he has our life in our hands, doesn't he? He has our life in our hands. He measures us out our lives, doesn't he? I've never been good at wallpapering. In fact, I think the first time we tried it was at Harvesters, and Lisa and I had this silly thought in our head that we would wallpaper our bedroom. I'd never done it before. Thanks to Gary, he helped us out. And Gary pointed us in the direction of this shopping sitting board and had this vast array of wallpaper. So we went there, and Lisa and I looked at all these different patterns, and of course, what you have to do is you have to measure the room, don't you? You have to measure the room, and you have to then, from that measurement, you have to guess how much you need roughly to cover the room. And that's a good picture, isn't it? That the Lord, he actually measures our life, and he measures the length of our life, and That's what God does with us. If you turn to Job, Job 1 and verse 21, you'll notice these words: "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised," or in the AV, "the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So, he is the giver of life. He's the taker of life. Blessed is his name. It's nothing, is it, to do with luck? A lot of people go, "Oh, that was lucky, wasn't it? That was lucky. Oh, across my fingers, across my toes, across my legs." You need the toilet. It's never luck, isn't it? It's all to do with God. Every bit of our lives, every day, it's all to do with him. It's nothing to do with luck. Luck has got nothing to do with it. It's all to do with him. Turn to Psalm 90. You turn with me to Psalm 90. And verses 3 to 6, it says, "You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is all dry and withered.'" It's a very sobering thought, that, isn't it? That we are like grass, we wither. We wither quickly. "For the man without Christ, death is the end of all his joys," isn't it? It's the end of all his joys. But for the person with Christ, it's the end of all our griefs. It's wonderful. It's the end of all our griefs. There's a major difference there, isn't it? And the world tries to look on death as a distant thing, don't they? Especially if you're young. You think, "Oh, it's not going to happen to me yet. Don't really need to think on that. I've got time. I can prepare for that later. That's something that we can do later." It's like wise to look at this, isn't it? Life is short. And it's short for all of us. If we do that, then we look on every day as valuable. If we look on every day as valuable, we use it well, don't we? We use it well. It's what we should do. In verse 4 of chapter 39, it shows that we are mortal, doesn't it? "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days." The number of my days. It shows that we are mortal. The number of my days, underline. Notice he says the word days. haven't we grown quickly? When you look back at... we were at Mum and Dad's for Mum's birthday, and they had the little picture going, and all the pictures were changing and different. Of Hannah and Harry when they were young, and you think, "Wow, oh, and they've grown." And didn't you hear that when you were young? "Oh, haven't you grown?" When an auntie comes to stay, "Haven't you grown?" You hear that, you think, "Oh dear." But it's true. Life is so fleeting, isn't it? It goes so quickly. And the final hymn we're going to sing is "Abide with Me." "Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide." It's swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. And the one that we should really, the verse that we should really hold to is, "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies." Point me to the skies. Not to the depths, but to the skies. Wonderful. I noticed in the news this week, there was an Australian cricketer, and 25 years of age, and of course he was playing cricket and he was hit by the cricket ball on the back of the head, and 2 days later he was dead. It's a very sobering thought. 25 years old, he was just short of his 26th birthday, and you could say that he had his final innings, didn't you? It's a very sobering thing. How fleeting is my life, David says. How fleeting is my life? You know, you think about this and you think, I used to play football probably at least 3 times a week. I used to ice skate, I used to do so many things. And now it takes me like a week to recover from just one game, you know. It just shows you how weary we can get and how time changes, so that, you know, when you were younger you could do so many things, but when you're older you can do less and less, and there'll be a time when I won't even be able to ride my bike because I won't have the energy. But we do remember the good times, don't we, if we look back, and looking back is always a good thing. Looking back, I always remember at Christmas time, and it's coming on us now, we used to always enjoy family times at Christmas, watching films and playing games. Always remember watching films and looking over at Grandma, and she is fast asleep, snoring in the chair. And he said, "Grandma, wake up!" "Oh no, I was just closing my eyes." But we look back and we look and see how times just fly by, because Grandma, she's not with us. She's not with us anymore. And remembering on summer holidays as well, we used to go to Switzerland. And we used to be that strange family that used to go grave hunting. We used to be the architectural Indiana Jones, and we used to be interested in going to see the graves of great people, you know, movie stars that have come and gone. And I always remember going to see the graves of David Niven. In the old movie, people probably say, "Who?" and Audrey Hepburn, we should all know Audrey Hepburn, Charlie Chaplin, because of course his tomb's in Vevey. And the one thing that I always remember was going to see the grave of Richard Burton. And the actual cemetery, as you went into the cemetery, there was two words inscribed above the entrance, and it read "Ici Égalité." And in French, it's "here, equality." All are equal. In death, we're all equal. And it just goes to show, doesn't it? And I thought, when I was thinking of that as a boy, it does make you think. It really does make you think. So let's move on to the second bit. And in verse 5, it says, "You have made my days a mere hand breadth." And it makes us realise how frail our life is. We are very frail. To look this up, hand breadth in the old Greek, or in the old measurements, it used to be 4 fingers without thumb. And it's a statement, isn't it? It's not a question. It's a statement. A wound to the grave. We know of this because losing our dear son Samuel, and it does make you think that there's just one finger, you know? There's just one finger. Time and life is short. It's very short indeed. You always have to supervise toddlers, don't you? We're definitely at that age. walking Hannah and Harry to school. And of course, I've got hold of Harry's hand. And in the back of your mind, you think, what if he tears free and falls in front of a car? Life's gone. We have reins. These days we have reins. And that's like that in life, isn't it? Life is very short. Safety. Well, everything's about health and safety these days, isn't it? Have you followed this procedure? but it doesn't matter about health and safety laws. When our time has come, our time has come. Let's look on these. Let's look through some scriptures at the dangers of life. And David was often in danger because, of course, he had Saul as an enemy. And if we go to 1 Samuel and chapter 20, 1 Samuel chapter 20, and David is here, and in verse 3, David took an oath and said, "Your father knows very well that I have found favour in your eyes." And he said to himself, "Jonathan must not know this, or he will be grieved. Yet as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there is only a step between me and death." So he knew his frailty, didn't he, David? Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. And verse 6. "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away." We are swept away, aren't we? And then turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 24. And this is a very famous quote. "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall." They fall, but then "the word of the Lord stands forever." Amen. The word of the Lord stands forever. And that all speaks of frailty, doesn't it? So we have to realise how frail we are. And then the third thing we see, let's have a look back to the psalm. And the third thing we see is briefness again. We look back at our briefness. Lisa and I were looking at this. We were studying Genesis and the days of man, and of course Methuselah, he was the oldest man in the Bible, wasn't he? He was 969 years old, but in comparison with God, there's nothing. God is eternal. There is no comparison. God's days are without end, aren't they? They can't be measured. And I looked up infinite, because he is infinite, isn't he? He's infinite. And the words that came through are without any limit, uncountable, timeless. He's timeless. And one of my favourite ones is the Ancient of Days. He's called the Ancient of Days. He is eternal. Eternity has no days, does it? Eternity has no days. Our minds can't comprehend this. His greatness is unfathomable, without fathom. Each man's life is but a breath. Each man's life is but a breath. Let's look at more scriptures. Let's turn to Genesis 47. Genesis 47. And this is where Jacob is talking to Pharaoh. And verse 9. "Jacob said to Pharaoh, 'The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few," really, "and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers." Well, it's 130 years, and they were few. But, you know, these days, if you live to 90, that's a good age, isn't it? You know, 70, as our pastor often says. 70. Psalm 90. Psalm 90 and verse 9. Verse 9 says, all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan." It's a moan, isn't it? We finish with a moan. We start with a cry, end with a moan. It's very sobering. And then turn with me to Job. Job is a very good book. Job 8 I wanted to go to. Job 8 and verse 9 says, "For we were born only yesterday and know nothing, and our days on earth are but a shadow." They're but a shadow, aren't they? And then turn a few more chapters on to chapter 14, and in verse 1, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away. Like a fleeting shadow, he does not endure. And that's very true, isn't it? I preach as to never preach again. I preach as dying man to dying men. I can't remember who said that now. It was Baxter. It's very true, isn't it? Very true. Let's look at this psalm again and notice the next bit, he said, is Selah. That's something we often go over, isn't it? It's dotted throughout the psalms. And I said, look, actually it means pay attention. Pay attention. It means listen. And we think. We must stop and think, mustn't we? And read that section over again and think about it. Really think what we're reading. And then let's move on to the next thing. We see that we are futile, aren't we? So I'm going to take this off, I'm getting hot now.
We're futile.
Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. That word phantom is very significant. And in the AV, it means a vain show. I think it is said vain show. So we're worthless, aren't we? We're futile, worthless. We show a lot of wealth in these days, don't we? Not necessarily our own wealth either. It's often on credit, isn't it? With credit cards, people have credit cards and buy things that they can't afford. We think of big houses, people show their fast cars. Often been guilty of that in my youth. But look at me, look how much I've got, you know, this show of wealth and splendour. We have a song that goes about, doesn't it? Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. And yeah, it's Annie, get your gun, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah, something like that, yeah. It's not good, is it? It's not a good thing. The Lord Jesus spoke about that to the Pharisees in Luke 20 and verse 46. The Lord Jesus said, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplace and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." They're peacocks, aren't they? Peacock is a very look-at-me bird, isn't it? Showing up its back feathers. Look at me, look how grand I am. One story that I always remember Dad saying about Richard Burton. Going back to Richard Burton, he was a good actor. We enjoy some of his films. The Taming of the Shrew is one of my favourites. And also Where Eagles Dare. And he would call himself a daytime atheist. It's quite a sobering thought. But he used to keep a notepad by his bed, and of a nighttime, if he woke up, he used to jot notes in it. And the night he died, when they found his notebook in the morning, there was a quote, and it was from Macbeth, and I've got to read it, unfortunately, because I can't memorise it like that. It was, "Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. That's quite a sobering thought, isn't it? It's just a vain show, just a phantom, says David. And Isaiah 57, verse 20. Turn with me to that one. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest. It's quite a sobering thought, that one, isn't it? The wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest. They just bustle about, don't they? Bustle about. Back and forth. And nothing is certain but death. And it was Benjamin Franklin who said that, wasn't it? There was two things that were certain in life: death and taxes. I always remember that. Man without God worries, doesn't he? Worries at night, worries about his money, worries about his job, he worries about everything, doesn't he? There's no peace for the wicked. How wonderful it is to be stress-free, isn't it? Wonderful to be stress-free. The Lord Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, didn't he? He said, do not worry. Let's turn to that, actually. Matthew 5. Matthew 6. Verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, and it certainly does, doesn't it? Do not worry. Well, we shouldn't worry, should we? We shouldn't worry if we're in Christ. And the next bit we look at then is he heaps up wealth not knowing who will get it. It's all about money, money, money these days, isn't it? Money, money, money. And there's not much to say about this, really. just turn with me to 1 Timothy. And this is a very misinterpreted scripture, I would say. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9 to 10. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, not the root. I think that's where people get really, really confused. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So it's a root. It's all people think about, isn't it? Money, money, money. That's all the non-Christian thinks about in this day and age. It's a very sobering thought. Finally, in verse 7. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. We've heard about great deaths, haven't we? We've heard about Lloyd Jones and Bunyan and the like. But what's the greatest death? The greatest death is Christ, isn't it? He died the greatest death, and he died freely. He died freely for us, and that should be something that we should really think about. He died so that we would be adopted into his kingdom. That's a wonderful thing for the Christian, a wonderful thing. He took our punishment on him, didn't he? I love the, I have to look it up because I always forget it, but I love the words of the hymn writer James Proctor. And I'm going to read you the whole thing because I think it's wonderful. Nothing either great or small, nothing sin or no. Jesus died and paid it all long, long ago. When he from his lofty throne stooped to do and die, everything was fully done. Hearken to his cry, weary working, burdened one, wherefore toil you so? Cease your doing. All is done, long, long ago. Till to Jesus work you cling, by a simple faith. Doing is a deadly thing. Doing ends in death. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone. Gloriously complete, it is finished. Yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Wonderful words. But dear friends, it doesn't end in the grave, does it? It doesn't end in death, because he rose, doesn't he? He is risen. Hallelujah! Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph over his foes. Wonderful. And we will be with him. If we are in Christ, we'll be with him, won't we? And we'll enjoy him forever. We sang the hymn, Thou art Christ, art all I want. Is that what you want this morning? Is that all you want? It's what we should want. We should want Christ. I want to end with reading to you Psalm 121. Because it's a promise. It's a wonderful promise. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will neither slumber, will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Oh, Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for Christ this morning. We thank you, dear Lord God, of what he has done for us. It is finished. Dear Lord God, he died once for all. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing, dear Lord God. And dear Lord, any who aren't in Christ this morning, may they really search their hearts and come throw themselves on Christ. Because he is the altogether lovely one. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the living God. And dear Lord God, we thank you and we praise you. And pray that you would bless us. Bless us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing our final hymn then. And let's sing Abide With Me.